Welcome to Running, Alaska Public Media's candidate forum on KSKA 91.1 FM and 360 North. I'm Zachariah Hughes, city reporter here in Anchorage. Elections are on April 4th, just 1 week away. And on top of ballot measures on the taxi industry and school bonds, the majority of spots on the Anchorage Assembly will be decided, potentially reshaping the city's representative body. I'm talking with three of the four candidates vying to represent District 4's Seat G in Midtown Anchorage, including neighborhoods like Rogers Park, Taku Campbell, and the University area. The seat's currently held by L.V. Gray Jackson, but due to term limits, she's not running again. So we have an open field. I'm joined here in the Alaska Public Media's studios by Ron Oliva, Felix Rivera, and Marcus Sanders. Another candidate, Don Smith, declined our invitation to participate. We're going to jump into some questions about city politics, but first, each candidate will give a 30-second introductory statement, starting alphabetically with Mr. Oliva.
All right. Well, thank you, Zachariah. Well, my name is Ron Oliva. I am running for District 4. I'm a 44-year resident of Anchorage. I married up to my loving wife, Annette, mother of five children, and at the end of the week, we'll both be grandparents. So we're looking forward to add another little loving body to Anchorage. And hey, that future is important, as are all others. I'm running because I think I can extract data from the far right, the far left, and make a good decision for present and future Anchorage.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Oliva. Mr. Rivera.
Hi. My name is Felix Rivera, and I'm running for the Midtown open seat. You know, our city right now is at a really critical juncture. We have city services that are at max capacity, and we really have some big problems, everything from the state level and the budget that's trickling down, costing Anchorage taxpayers, to a public safety situation. So I really want us to continue to move Anchorage forward and make sure that we handle these issues.
Thank you. And Mr. Sanders.
Hello, Zachariah. Thank you for having me today and all of us today. My name is Marcus Sanders. I am running for Midtown District 4. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, 34 years in Alaska, married to my beautiful wife, Erica, my three children. I'm a father, I'm a mentor. I work for the Anchorage School District. I'm a pastor here in the community. I'm running because I want to, you know, step up my service in Anchorage, Alaska. I feel like we can bring some new flavor to the Anchorage Assembly, some new thoughts, some new ideas, and more creativity. And I think I'm the man for the job. So I stepped up to the plate and threw my hat into the race.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. It's my chance to ask you each some questions. You'll have 45 seconds to respond, and in the interest of fairness, we'll rotate who has the first answer to each one. Mr. Oliva, this first question goes to you. What is your definition of public safety? And if you're elected, what are your proposals for what are your proposals for bringing the city more in that direction?
Well, public safety is you have nothing to fear but fear itself. Mm-hmm. You should be able to not necessarily leave your home unlocked, but feel like you can go down the bike path safely. You can go drive your car, whatever it takes to enjoy not only the outdoors, but your home is your castle, and feel safe and comfortable there. As far as public safety in reference to crime in Anchorage, I'm against hiring any more police. I think that's unnecessary and would not be productive to get special units like has been requested by the present mayor, bringing those back.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Rivera, same question to you.
Absolutely. So public safety is intrinsically tied to quality of life. When we feel safe, we feel that our quality of life is better. And right now, as I know from going door to door in a lot of the neighborhoods that you mentioned, that people feel like their quality of life is diminishing, and they're tying that to public safety. So we absolutely need to bolster public safety. That means hiring more officers. That means being more strategic with how we deploy our officers, creating specialized units to tackle some of the ground issues that we have. So I really feel like we need to continue to move in that direction, and we need to have more community action policing.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Sanders, the same question to you.
Wow, I almost forgot what the question
your
was.
Definition of public safety and your proposals for getting us more in that direction.
My definition of public safety is Well, this is strange. I actually agree with Mr. Oliva. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. But, you know, our residents shouldn't have to feel like when they wake up in the morning, their car is going to be stolen. Or when they go to sleep, that someone's going to enter their home or break into their home. But I think the real issue is not putting more foot soldiers on the ground. The real issue is sending a message to violators and criminals who violate these laws to exercise stronger punishments for these offenders, you know, and I think that makes the residents feel a little safer knowing that they just won't get a citation when their car is stolen or, you know, a lower bail when a person goes for an arraignment. So I think that's more important.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Rivera, this next question goes to you first. With state and federal funding retreating for the foreseeable future, what proposals do you have for funding the municipality? And if there are cuts, please specify from where. If there's any new revenue sources that you think are worth pursuing, what exactly are those?
Yeah, so we are absolutely in the middle of a pretty interesting situation with the state and federal government pulling back. I think what we need to do is to look at creating a smarter, more efficient government. I'm not necessarily, I don't like the framework of smaller government, bigger government. I think that's a framework that doesn't move Anchorage forward. So, you know, when it comes to specifics on exactly where to cut, I am a big proponent of really looking department by department and not these broad-based cuts that we've seen in the last 6 years.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Sanders, the same question to you.
Well, we all have our wants and we all have our needs. I feel like we all need to lay it out on the table. We have the have and the have-nots. I feel like we need to put our first priority needs to go first of what's more important first. So, you know, we're going to have some serious decisions to make.
For you, what are those decisions or what are those priorities that you put at the top of the list?
Education and public safety. First priority. Right now, public safety right now and education is our first priority.
Okay. And Mr. Oliva, the same question to you.
Yes, and if the question was generating revenue streams because of the loss of state aid, I'm looking at, and there's been a sales tax proposed, but my own initiative is to look at some of the nonprofits and the religious institutions and trades with the state. I think we've had a commission study nonprofits and looking at the land that's been exempt, they're not pulling their full weight. And there has to be a special assessment out there for police, fire, paramedic protection, and roads. So I think that's what I would look for as another revenue stream. And then if the state was to propose state taxes, I'd look serious at a city municipal sales tax.
Okay. For this next question, Mr. Sanders, we will start with you. What kinds of solutions to homelessness in Anchorage do you think that the Assembly and the city ought to be pursuing?
Well, that question is never easy. It's not an overnight situation we can come with overnight. The first question we need to ask is, how many of the homeless want a roof over their head? I personally worked with the homeless down at St. The Francis Shelter and through my church's organization. And there's a large number that don't want a roof over their head. So we have to ask the questions of who wants to help and who doesn't want to help. So what I'm finding out is do we spend $350,000 on a person each on the street to put a house and roof over their head and spend state funding, city funding for that? Or do we find those individuals who actually want the help? I'm going to be honest. Some are just literally, they're like good with getting a sandwich and sending them on their way.
Okay. And Mr. Oliva, I know this is a question that you've brought to Running's Pass. So what are your solutions for homelessness in the city?
Well, can we beam them up somewhere else?
Oh.
The bottom line is I'm the most acquainted with this issue on the street level. There's other types of homelessness, couch surfing, etc. But as far as our end-stage chronic inebriates, I'm against housing first. That's a very expensive process, and you have to weigh the benefits versus cost, and set priorities. But housing first is a bad idea because nothing's first when you fight the homeless. You have to attack it from all angles, and even the name gives it a a misinterpretation and a failed project as far as helping the homeless.
Well, I just want to follow up with that. That was a criticism of the policy that's in place, but what proposals to solve the issue could you bring forward if elected?
Sure. Well, the first thing, I offered my own property up for sale for Bindlestick Park. I think the campsites around the city, if you got them in one location near the services, it would be better than spreading the cancer all throughout the city. And because people are NIMBYs, they don't want this spreading cancer in their backyard, why not keep it in that location?
Okay, I'm going to move over to Mr. Rivera. So for you, any solutions that you have to the issue of homelessness in Anchorage?
Absolutely. So I think that we are moving in the right direction with Housing First. It works. All the research shows it works. All of the actual application in Anchorage shows it works. I think the next logical step beyond Housing First is to really provide some of these wraparound services that, after we put these folks into housing, helps rehabilitate body, mind, and soul so that they can re-enter society, re-enter the workforce, and contribute again to our economy. I'm also like the idea, sort of a pet project of mine, of tiny homes and how tiny home villages have been used in places in the lower 48 to combat homelessness.
Okay, thank you. We're going to take a break from my questions and switch over to your questions. You'll get the chance to pose a question to one of your opponents. They'll have 45 seconds to answer, and then there's a 45-second rebuttal for you. Starting again alphabetically, Mr. Oliva, the first question goes to you.
This one's going to go to Mr. Rivera, who I respect, and we've known each other for a while. But Mr. Rivera, can you answer why you feel with only 9 months in the employment sector in your entire life, and that was for the present mayor, do you have the experience of someone like myself, 44 years, 5 children, gone through the
education. I am going to ask that you keep the question short and not use it as a preamble, please.
And then, Felix, just explain how you could come out with soap behind your ears and say you're going to fill this position competently.
Yeah, so that's an interesting question that isn't based in fact. Basically, I think what you're referring to is the 9 months that I spent working at the Mayor Ethan Berkowitz's office, which I'm really proud of. But beyond that, I have had work in the private sector in Anchorage since I moved here in 2008. I went to college working 2 jobs, right? So also, as I've worked in different sectors, like I've worked a lot in organizing, I've actually hired individuals to help me out in a lot of this organizing work. So thank you for the question, but that's not based in fact.
Mr. Oliva, a rebuttal from you.
Well, what you just gave, it sounded like alternate facts. You didn't address your experience, for one thing, and then you support Housing First, but yet you suggest tiny homes as your leadership. And I feel you've been drinking the Kool-Aid of Mayor Berkowitz for the last 9 months as your only true political experience. But have you been out there in community councils, which I haven't seen? I haven't seen you at an assembly meeting. I haven't had any letters to the editor that strongly take a position like myself. And so I think you're up against someone who brings more to the table than you do, and you have nothing, no backup to substantiate
that
you're
going to
be a better assembly person.
The opportunity is to you, Mr. Rivera, to ask a question of either one of your opponents.
Sure. So my question is to Marcus Sanders. What makes you the most qualified candidate to serve on the assembly?
Wow, that was nicer than I thought it would be. Thank you, Felix. I feel that my qualifications stand, that I've been here for 34 years. I've served in my community. I've served as a Anchorage police officer, chaplain for the fire department, as a volunteer chaplain formerly. I served as a Department of Corrections chaplain. I've served in my Fairview Community Council, where my church is currently at, and I served in my Rogers Park Community Council. I work for the school district. I'm a part of many boards. I'm a voice in my community. I feel like, it was an open seat. Why not step up, the game and throw my hat in the race.
Okay, thank you. And a rebuttal, if that's the appropriate word here, yeah. Mr. Rivera.
Absolutely. I definitely appreciate the time that Marcus has spent working in the community. I am not convinced, though, that Marcus has the issue-specific knowledge that we really need on the Assembly. And some of the issues, I guess, to talk to Ron's question that I've worked in, I've been involved in equal rights. I was instrumental in passing our equal rights ordinance that we have on the books right now. I've been involved in workers' rights, and I was instrumental in fighting against the AO37, which was the anti-union bill that the Sullivan administration put forward. And I've been working in immigrant and refugee rights. So I have been involved heavily in this community, and I look forward to serving on the Assembly.
Okay. And Mr. Sanders, the question to you of either one of your opponents.
Felix, why do you feel that identity politics are more important than the problems like crime and education in our community?
That's a good question. I don't feel like they are. Obviously, as I've gone door to door, as I've talked at different forums and events, the number one thing I always talk about is public safety, is our roads, plowing. I talk about the key issues that everyone cares about in the community. While yes, I think Mr. Sanders is referring to a couple of articles that have been written recently about me being openly gay, that hasn't come up in any forum at the door. It's a point of pride, but it is not something that the voters care about.
Okay. And a rebuttal from you, Mr. Sanders.
Felix, I feel that, you may just make the comment that, feel like I'm knowledgeable for the position. Why is that?
Oh, it's not an opportunity for you to ask a question. It's an opportunity for you to respond to his response to your question.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, I accept your answer.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to move out back to questions from me. And if you are just tuning in, this is Running, Alaska Public Media's candidate forum. We're talking with three of the people hoping to win the Midtown seat on the Anchorage Assembly this upcoming April 4th election. We'll go back to Mr. Aleva for this next question. How is the housing stock in the neighborhoods that you might represent, and what are the policies for either building or housing or development that you'd pursue from the Assembly seat?
Well, the strongest neighborhood is the UMed district, and I think that's the district we have to have grow, not only in the residential section, student section, but more for the medical and academic section. And Title 21 scares me on one side, that it's too restrictive in the residential aspect and small business to build small buildings. Yet the big buildings, they kind of get a rubber stamp and have the money to move forward with the cost to meet to the regulations. So those are the things I would look like. Streamline Title 21, if not repeal it, and then push for more development in the academic and medical section.
Okay. And Mr. Rivera, the same question to you on housing in the Midtown District.
Absolutely. So I live in Abbott Loop, and Abbott Loop is a good mixture of single family homes and multifamily homes. I am absolutely a big proponent of more multi-use housing, so things like having businesses on the first floor and then multiple floors on top of that of housing. I think that not only provides more housing units, it also helps small business. I also like some of the ideas that have been proposed for the downtown and developing downtown. And I think the more we develop the downtown core with more residential, the more that'll creep out to the different neighborhoods.
Okay. And the same question to you, Mr. Sanders, on housing in Midtown.
I think I would be in agreement with Mr. Avila. I'd like to see more small businesses and more growth in the UMed. In the UMed district, and living in that district, I would like to see more development right there in the UMed district.
We're going to shift over, and so Mr. Rivera, this next question goes to you. Do you think the city and the state need a better arrangement for how they handle snow plowing in Midtown specifically?
Oh, yes, they do. Midtown is the biggest sinner of not having well-plowed sidewalks. And the state and the city do not coordinate. So many times we'll see a sidewalk plowed and nice, and then next thing the road gets plowed and the sidewalk's messy again and full of snow and unwalkable. So I think we absolutely need better coordination with how we maintain our roads, how we maintain our sidewalks. And if the state's not going to do the job, then the assembly and the municipality needs to take leadership, because this is literally a life or death situation for many folks on the roads.
I just want to follow up and ask, I mean, when you say there's a lack of coordination or no coordination between the city and state side, do you mean that the transfer of responsibility agreement is not being enforced or honored well, or that it's outdated? What do you mean when you say there's no coordination?
Well, the state has reneged on a lot of its agreements simply because they just don't have the infrastructure and the budget to handle it. So it's falling on the municipality. We need to go back in and renegotiate those.
Okay. And Mr. Sanders, the same question to you on snow plowing in Midtown.
It needs to get done, whether it's the city or the state. I mean, like Felix said, they need to coordinate a lot better because, you know, living in Midtown, you do see, you know, one street plowed, then the next street's not plowed, and one chunk of ice, and there's, you know, a sidewalk where you can barely walk. I actually saw a moose today walking, like, in the middle of the street. Usually they walk on the sidewalk in my neighborhood, but, you know, he couldn't walk. So, you know, that's something we really got to, you know, coordinate on.
Do you think the system of tiered priorities as it currently stands is workable and should be honored?
Yes, it should. Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Oliva, the same question to you on the policy in place for snow plowing Midtown.
Well, it's been under a microscope for a long time, I think, back to the Fink administration. And this is where you have to have the experience of what has happened in exchanges and that transfer of responsibility. What roads are the state? What roads are the municipality? And what is the coordination between them? And we're in a tough spot now, and you specifically asked Midtown, but across the city, because Berkowitz, we had $14 million in surplus from a fuel reserve of last year, and they spent it before the first snow fell. And that little bit that they put in reserves wasn't enough to get private contractors into the picture, both state and municipal. So failure on the part of the administration.
Okay, that you're bumping up against your time. Mr. Sanders, this next question, we will go over to you. What infrastructure and capital projects do you see as the most important for the assembly to pursue?
That's a good one. I don't know right now.
Okay. So nothing you'd like to offer as
No, right now.
Okay. Mr. Oliva, to you on the question of the capital and infrastructure projects most worthy of pursuit.
Well, the most important one, I think, right now is the port. The port, meaning it's slipping into the inlet, lawsuits galore, minimal results out of the lawsuit for the benefit of the city, because that's the gateway of transportation for the entire state. Now, I think that's something that has to be looked at and addressed as soon as possible, because it's a lifeline not only to Anchorage, but to the state and the infrastructure economy of Anchorage and the state. So that would be the number one issue. Do you want a second? A back burner would be Port Warnsoff, 25 million gallons of sewage with only primary treatment. We're going to pay for that big time.
Okay. Mr. Rivera, the same question to you.
Yeah. So Mr. Oliva stole my thunder a little bit there. Yes, the Port of Anchorage is absolutely our number one priority, because it isn't the Port of Anchorage. It's the Port of Alaska. And if we have any significant earthquake or other type of damage, we are going to find ourselves in an interesting situation right quick. Other than that, I think that we need to focus on the highway to highway project. I think that's a good project that the state right now, if it wanted to choose a project besides the port, could fund. And then I'll tell you a little bit of what I'm against. I am against the Bragaw-Elmore extension. And I am also, so that's a big project I'm against, as well as the Kibata. That's another one.
Okay, you've preempted another question, but that's probably for the best. We are nearly out of time. I just have enough space for one more question from each of you. If you can keep it under 15 seconds or 30 seconds, I'll be very grateful. We will go back, I think, to you, Mr. Oliva, And the question is, what is your position on the ballot measures going before voters?
Well, my priority would get our taxes in order first, what we're going to look at. But bonding is very important, should be reviewed, and maintenance, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. So I'm kind of neutral and leaning against the bond issues as they stand.
Okay, and the taxi ordinance, any position there?
Well, you have to understand that you got to play with the same deck of cards, and people who put their lifeblood, life savings into a permit and understand that economy can't be advanced 25 years with instantly bringing in Uber or Lyft under a different, more lax set of rules.
Okay.
Play by the rules.
Thank you. And Mr. Rivera, ballot propositions.
Absolutely. I think we need to continue to invest in Anchorage. So, yes, I am going to be voting yes on ballot propositions 1 through 6. Proposition 7, I will be voting yes on Proposition 8, which is the taxi cabs. I will be voting no. I think we do need to have more taxi cabs in Anchorage. We need to open that market. I also think that in the end, we are going to have to pay the folks who currently have the medallions, whether it's to the courts or otherwise.
Okay. Thank you. And Mr. Sanders, the same question to you on which ballot propositions you'll be supporting.
I'll be supporting the bond on our maintenance. I think maintenance is big for our schooling, and that's be a bond I'll be supporting.
And how about taxi cabs?
Oh, I love Uber. So I'm a little neutral.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Uber vote is separate from the ballot proposition that's actually there, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm undecided on the taxi cab right now.
Okay. Yeah. We will switch over. That's all the time I have, but it's an opportunity for closing remarks from each of you. You'll have 30 seconds. Mr. Oliva, over to you first.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I believe I have the experience to gather from the far left, the far right, analyze the data, and make the best decision for the present and for the future of Anchorage. I've capped my campaign donations to $27 per individual. I'm not going to be bought in this election, or will I sell out to any special interest. I represent all of Anchorage, and I appreciate your vote. And I believe I will win this election.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rivera. Your closing remarks.
Thank you for having us here today. As you have seen, there are four choices. I guess the fourth choice is an empty chair. Four choices on the ballot this cycle for the Midtown Assembly voters. We need to continue to move Anchorage forward. We need to continue to invest in our city and to tackle some of these problems we have. I would appreciate and be honored to have your support because I do have the experience to tackle these issues. I do believe that we need to look at all sides of the aisle. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And Mr. Sanders, your closing remarks.
And I'm going to keep it short. My name is Marcus Sanders. I was born in Alaska, raised in Alaska. I was schooled in Alaska, and I will be honored to represent Midtown. I'm asking for your vote on April 4th. Thank you for having us, Zachary.
Okay, thank you. And it is Zachariah. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me
sorry,
here.
Sorry, Zachariah.
We've run out of time, but that is concludes the first half of our forum with candidates hoping to represent the good residents of Midtown Anchorage on the Assembly. I've been joined by Ron Oliva, Felix Rivera, and Marcus Sanders. A fourth candidate declined our invitation to attend. Tomorrow, we'll be covering races for East Anchorage, West Anchorage, and South Anchorage. Two of those seats are currently held by incumbents, Pete Peterson and Tim Steele, both of whom are running for election. The South Anchorage spot is held currently by Bill Evans, who has decided not to run again. That's tomorrow, Wednesday, March 29th from 3 to 4 here on KSKA 91.1 FM and on 360 North. We'll also have it posted to our website, alaskapublic.org. Thanks for joining us.